A website that I, a news website that I've become really fond of and I go to on a daily basis is called The Business Insider. I love the way they format their stories. I love the look of the website and I love the content. And it's really easy to understand, taking all those complexities out of a news story and just serving it on a golden platter. Yeah, enjoy and make sense of it. So as usual, we are joined by Helena Wasserman, who's the editor of Business Insider in South Africa. And she joins us for our weekly look at what's trending on Business Insider. Helena, thank you so much for joining me. It's nice to have you on the show this morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thanks so much for that kind introduction. You've just made my week and the week just started. So thanks very much, Jeremy. I really appreciate it.
I speak only the truth. So listen, one of the stories that I find very interesting on Business Insider Business is, and this is the title of the story, is how much it costs to open McDonald's, Wimpy Steers, or Rocco Mama's restaurant. And obviously, these are four out of the top 10 fast food franchise brands in South Africa, primarily selling hamburgers. So talk to us through this story.
Yes, you know, at the moment, many people have lost their jobs. They're looking for new ways of making money. So we thought it's a good idea to just relook at the cost of franchises. It's quite interesting that the big international names, like we didn't list KFC. I don't think they're accepting franchise applications at the moment. But McDonald's are really expensive as a franchise. While the local names like Steers and Wimpy are much cheaper. And what caught my eye is the new Steers drive-in franchise. It's a bit more expensive. You wouldn't think it, but it's a bit more expensive than the store. So you need about 3.1 million rand to set up a Steers drive-through. But I thought it's quite interesting, you know, especially the way that things changed with the pandemic. People are more hesitant to go into stores. This may be a new kind of franchise that people look into.
I can see the business sense. I can see the logic being applied here because I don't mind paying an extra 10 bucks or 15 bucks if it means that I can keep myself out of a potential situation where I could be infected with the COVID-19 virus. So it is a good way to pivot as we get used to the new normal.
I think so. And also, I think you need less space.
Yeah.
And you can set up in cases that normally don't accommodate restaurants. You know, so industrial areas and, yeah, so I think that could be an interesting growth area if you're looking to buy a franchise, to maybe consider a drive-through only restaurant.
Now, opening a typical franchise, fast food franchise in the country costs between roughly 2 and 6 million rand. I would have thought that it would cost much more.
Really? You know, there's a lot of other costs as well, rent and working capital costs. So this is mainly set up and franchise costs. And it's not personnel as well. So running it will be a lot more, I would imagine. But yeah, it's franchises are a proven way of making good money in South Africa.
Yeah, look,
so the question is whether the market has reached capacity or not.
Absolutely, especially pre-COVID-19 when they were turning around over, I think, 8 billion rand a year.
Yeah.
As fast food outlets?
Yeah. So, you know, average revenue of a fast food franchise in South Africa is almost 18 million rand per branch per year. So that's not small money.
Mm.
But what would be interesting is the small new franchises that are emerging. We've seen Kauai launching a free-range burger, chicken burger branches. I don't know if you've seen those, Free Bird. So my guess is that we'll see smaller franchises coming through the market in the next couple of years.
Another interesting story, and it's trending on Business Insider at the moment, is the cost of completing an MBA in South Africa at various institutions. You're running an article where you're actually comparing the costs of a particular MBA. Talk us through that story, Elena.
Yeah, so we specifically really looked at the cost, but then also rankings, you know. So all MBAs are not created equal.
Yeah.
And we see, you know, the ones that are really doing well in the international rankings, specifically UCT, which is consistently, you know, among the top 100 MBAs in the world, those are a lot more expensive than those that may not be as well known. So I think if you're looking at UCT, for example, the cost is about 300 grand. And probably your marriage as well. You know, they always say that MBAs are divorce machines. But so you're looking at about 300,000 for a full-time MBA.
Yeah. And then, of course, MBA needs to also almost recreate itself. It needs to be recreated in order to accommodate the new normal now that we're moving from the brick and mortar. If you're doing an MBA that is where you want to start your own business, the MBAs also now need to be relevant enough to future-proof you as we become more involved in AI, technology, automation, etc., etc., going into the future. And obviously that would have an impact on the price as well.
Yes, I would imagine so. You know, and also the international linkages. Many of these top MBA guys have linkages with overseas universities. You can do a module overseas, and I think that also adds to the value of the MBA.
Another interesting story, South Africa's first road containing recycled tires.
I love this story.
I love it too.
I don't know this, but South African roads are getting increasingly expensive to produce, and that's partly because of all the wear and tear we go through, you know, South African roads, because of the problems with our rail infrastructure. Our roads are getting a lot of traffic and, you know, potholes. I mean, where do you start? And we are, in the old days, we just used to get the product from the mines and the bitumen, but these days we have to import additives, what they call, imported additives that cost a lot of money. So CSIR and a local asphalt company started researching different ways of paving roads that would make use of local additives, and they used byproducts from the mines, which are very much less expensive than the imported stuff, and they also used recycled tires, which solve a lot of headaches in terms of waste for South Africa as well. So environmentally, it's a good move. So they used this a year ago. They paved a section of the road in Roodepoort with this new trial experiment using the crumbs from the recycled tires and these byproducts from the mines, and this is to replace the expensive imported polymers from overseas. And it was a success. The road was it's close to a weighbridge, so it saw a lot of heavy traffic, and it held up very nicely. So after a year, they're now pushing for it to become a standard in South Africa. So I think that's a great story.
Oops, sorry, I need to, I've got to switch on my own mic here. It is a great story. I see a pic of it on the article as well. And I think that is the way to go. And this is it about South Africans, eh? When we in a bit of a hook, we think out of the box. So sometimes being in a corner is not a bad thing for us as South Africans, which brings me to the next story in terms of some municipalities now being able to generate their own electricity.
Yes, I mean, this is what we've been waiting for in Cape Town specifically, and the city of Cape Town has been pressing for this so hard over the recent years. They want to buy their own electricity from independent providers. They don't want to be dependent on Eskom anymore, and government finally gazetted the change that would allow municipalities to generate and buy their own electricity. So the wording of the gazette is a bit strange, but it does look like they can generate their own electricity, so they can create and develop projects themselves, and then they can buy from big solar and wind guys as well. So there will be some interesting things. I mean, Cape Town's already, you know, gearing towards this. The municipality Ekurhuleni already has landmass gas projects that they launching. So yeah, this could mean something interesting. Of course, government said you need to be in good financial standing.
Yeah.
The municipality, we don't know exactly what that means. It could mean that your bills with Eskom are paid up, but it could also mean that...
It should mean that your councillors and city managers are not stealing the money.
Oh, well, you're going to struggle to find a municipality like that. But if it means that you've got a clean audit from the Audit General, only 8% of South African municipalities actually have clean audits. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. So, in a way, this is very bad news for Eskom.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because the guys who don't pay will be your main clients in a couple of years' time, you know, and the ones that are the good payers are increasingly looking for different avenues. But for South Africans, this is great.
Yeah. My conversation is with Helena Wasserman, who is the editor of Business Insider. Go and check out the website, businessinsider.co.za. Very interesting stories. In closing, Helena, house prices continue to climb in South Africa. When I saw that, I was a little surprised, given the current economic situation and the COVID.
This is the most interesting thing to me about the COVID crisis and the impact on South Africa. So when the COVID crisis struck in March, the experts were predicting that house prices would fall by up to 14% this year. But this didn't happen, and it's not unique to South Africa. Across the world, house prices actually rose in the pandemic. And that's because people are stuck at home. They want a bigger house. They want a house somewhere else. They're suddenly, you know, forced to reckon with the limits of their homes. So that we're seeing this across the world. House prices continue to rise. Importantly, house prices above 1.5 million are not rising. They're sort of stable. They dipped a bit. 1% about a month ago, and at the moment that's sort of where they were before the pandemic. So they're not actually rising, but in the lower end of the market, we're absolutely still seeing a boom in house prices. And I mean, interest rates are the lowest level in 50 years. You know, mortgage applications have shot through the roof.
So it's a
very interesting development.
We're going to have to leave it there. Helena Wasserman is the editor for Business Insider. Go to their website, lovely stories, businessinsider.co.za.